Our story last week, Jesus is teaching and the crowds begin to gather and we'll hear what comes, but 5,000 men, women, and children. And not only does Jesus teach and amaze the people, but performs this miracle of being able to feed these 5,000 men plus women and children off of just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. Here Jesus has performed this great miracle and everyone is in awe. But it says that after the meal, Jesus sends the crowds away one way. Go back home. There's nothing more to see here. Go on and live your lives by what I have just taught you. And he sends the disciples off another way. He sends them to get in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and head to the other side. You got to remember, a number of these disciples were fishermen. So here is the home for them, on the sea and in the boat. This is the place that they are comfortable. So here they're heading out, and Jesus is left alone. Now, if you remember, just a few weeks ago, I preached to you on Sabbath, that need for us to have that time where we just stop and be with God, that time when we refuel and refresh ourselves and reload for what's coming. And here's Jesus giving the example of that. Jesus is taking his Sabbath. He goes and he retreats and he spends his time in prayer and discernment with God, refueling for what's next in this journey and this mission that he has. And so it says that night comes and it starts to go well into the night and Jesus is still on land and the disciples just keep getting further and further away. And it says, finally, in the middle of the night, Jesus begins to head out in the water after them. And like I said, with the kids, does he hail a boat taxi or steal a canoe? Absolutely not. Jesus just starts walking on the water. And it says, as dawn is approaching, so it's still dark out, he's starting to approach the boat. But what's happening to the boat is these fierce winds are coming and are against the boat. Now we hear another story of the disciples being in a boat and all of the winds and the waves coming in that storm. And this is very not unusual for the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, at any time out of nowhere, a storm can just suddenly come. And here all of the wind and the waves come and can beat those little fishing boats. And so here one of those comes. Unpredicted, unseen, but the winds begin to come and the waves are coming and that boat's rocking. And is that what's worrying the disciples most at this point? Absolutely not. Because here they are in this boat and they see this person walking towards them on the water. And what's their immediate response? It must be a ghost, right? It's what they tell each other. It's a ghost that's out there on the water that's heading towards us. And Jesus hears this, and what is the words that he uses to calm his disciples? He says, take heart, it's just me. It's just me, your master, your rabbi, your friend. I'm coming to join you on the next leg of this journey. So here Peter comes into the story, right? Peter's my favorite New Testament person. Why is Peter my favorite New Testament person? Because here they were thinking it was just a ghost and they were afraid. And then he realizes it's Jesus. And what is his response? But hey, if it's really you, invite me to walk out on this water towards you. Invite me to defy science and walk on water if it's really you. I'm not quite sure if this is more intrigue of him actually wanting to walk on water or if this is him really challenging, like, it must not be Jesus, and so I'm going to challenge him and say, oh, if it's really you. But it's actually the first, because what happens, but Jesus simply responds with one word. He says, come. He gives that command to Peter. All right, you think it's me and you want to get out of this boat with me? You want to get out of the boat with me? Then come on out. And what does Peter do? But bravely, he takes that foot, he steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk on water. I wonder what that feeling was like. That first step when his foot didn't sink, but stopped on the edge of the water. Of what that was like as he took step after step, getting a little more confident in his ability to keep walking to Jesus. I wonder what the other disciples were thinking in that boat. I wonder if they were thinking he's going to sink at any minute. Or were they jealous that they weren't the one that asked to get out of the boat? Or were they just in awe of the whole scene that was happening. But here Peter's walking out of that boat. Here he's stepping and going towards Jesus. But remember I said the winds were coming and beating up against that boat. And Jesus hasn't calmed those winds. Those winds are still going. But Peter, he was focused on Jesus, so he was able to get out of that boat and start walking. But all of a sudden he sees and feels that wind. And he loses his focus on Jesus, and he begins to focus on the elements around him. And when that focus shifts, it says he begins to sink. And when he begins to sink, he panics. And when he panics, he does what he only knows he can do, and that's cry out to Jesus, "Lord, save me. Save me from drowning. I'm sinking even though I was just walking." And Jesus calls him, "He of little faith. You of little faith, you doubted me, and here you're sinking." But Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls Peter back up to the surface, and together they get to the boat. They get in it. And when they step in the boat, it says the wind's calm and everything's good again. So what's happening in this story? The story that even the kids know. I say, who can walk on water? Jesus can walk on water, right? They know this story. A lot of us are familiar with this story. But what does this story mean? Here we are, the human beings, that those storms happen. We're those disciples in the boat, and we're going along, and we're doing what God wants, and life's all good. And then here, out of nowhere, these winds come and start beating up against our boat. And here our security is shaken and we don't know what's happening and we start to panic just a little bit. And what is it that we want in that moment? We want God to calm that storm, don't we? We want God to cease those winds and bring us back to that time of smooth sailing, right? But Beth Moore, who's an amazing author and speaker, she gives us this quote. When these storms come, she says, we want Christ to hurry and calm the storm. He wants us to find him in the midst of it. Now, what's that difference? When that storm's coming and the wind and the waves are beating up against us, what's the difference between wanting God to calm the storm and seeking Christ in the midst of it? One says, just return me to the pace of life of what we need. And one isn't about the storm. Seeking to find Jesus isn't about the storm. Seeking to find Jesus is seeking to have that stability, seeking to have that one that even though those winds are blowing, even though those waves are crashing, can be that solid ground that we can stand on no matter what's happening. That Jesus is the one that can see us through it. There's a difference between those two. The miracle worker that can calm it, but then we're done with him. Or seeking to find that one that's going to be staying with us and always there to be our center through it. But now let's say we've got that storm covered. Let's go looking at Peter for a minute. Because last week I told you with all of our stories, one of the questions we have to ask is, who am I in that story? And maybe we're just those disciples that are needing to deal with that storm, needing to deal with those waves, needing to deal with the rocking of the boat that makes us feel like we're going to lose that lunch of fish and bread. But what if we're Peter? What if you're that one that you're able to handle those storms and you've got that solid ground under you? But now you see God, now you see Jesus walking on that water, and you're the brave enough one that says, I have faith enough that Jesus, if that's you, showing up in my life right now, showing that you are the miracle worker, invite me to step out of this boat. Well, if you can find yourself as Peter, if you're the one with the faith and the courage, the one thing we must realize is if we want to walk on water, if we want miracles to happen, if we want to do amazing things, we have to first step out of the boat. We have to take that step of faith. We have to hear Jesus saying, all right, come out of there. Come out of the safety and security of the boat. Come out of everything you've known and step outside that comfort zone and have faith that I'm going to make your feet land on top of the water and not sink under it. We got to get out of the boat. Now that can be challenging because remember, that storm wasn't done. It was in the midst of the storm and the winds that Peter was willing to step out of the boat. That maybe if we're going through that storm, and maybe right now it isn't about the calm, maybe in the midst of that storm, it's about having the faith to step out of the boat, to step in faith towards Jesus and to say, I'm going to trust you and trust what you're going to do with me in this situation. That I'm not going to drown, I'm not going to sink, and I'm not going to get knocked over by these waves. That you're going to keep me on top of this water. And I'm going to walk through this in a way that all science and reality says cannot happen. Because Christ is the one looking at us, saying, come, step out of this boat. But then we look even further. We look even further because we want to step out of that boat and we want to have that faith. But even Peter that was there walking with Jesus lost sight of Christ, didn't he? When he lost sight of Christ, he began to sink. And sometimes that's us. Sometimes our faith is holding strong and we're walking on water and things are just amazing in life. Able to do things we didn't even know that we could. And then all of a sudden, we see the winds. They pick up a little bit more. We feel them. We get distracted by what's in this world. And our eyes wander away from Christ, and we find ourselves sinking. I tell you, if you feel like you're drowning, have faith, reach up, and allow Christ to put your feet on the water. Because that was the answer when Peter was drowning. It wasn't kick your feet harder. It wasn't paddle faster. It wasn't look back at the boat and ask for a life preserver. It was seek Christ and reach your hand up so he can pull you back to the surface. When we feel like we're drowning or sinking, when we feel like we're in crisis, how do we get our eyes focused back on Jesus and reach up and say, Lord, be the one to pull me out of this because I have faith that you are the one that can. Because just like Peter, he's going to do that. Just like Peter, he's going to pull us up and put our feet back on solid ground, and he will even get us back to the boat. But let's go back to that boat. Because so oftentimes we think that in that boat and in that calm is where God wants us to be. We think that that calm and just smooth sailing, moving along, that this is the goal, to just be out of crisis, to just be in good health and good security and just moving one foot in front of the other, and we're doing good, right? And I'll tell you, you're doing good. If you're just moving one foot in front of the other and life is smooth, congratulations, because that is a good place to be. But this text challenges us to wonder if God desires more. You see, God doesn't desire for us to live in the calm, stable realm of life. God wants us to live the adventure of a lifetime. It comes in two words that Jesus speaks. Because when the disciples are there, and they're in that boat, and they're afraid of him coming, Jesus says, take heart. It's just a few chapters before this, Jesus has said just this same thing. There's a man that's brought to him by his friends that's crippled. And that man comes up to him, and what does Jesus say? Not you're healed, not get up and walk. But the first thing he says to that crippled man who cannot walk and move for himself, he says, take heart, son. take heart. That's also translated, take courage. And this is Jesus challenging to live by our heart. In both these cases is a challenge to defy the odds and step above the laws of nature. A crippled man cannot just suddenly get up and walk. But Jesus says, live by your heart and move those legs. Everything says you shouldn't. Your brain and your mind and all your logic says, this is the state of who I am and I can't. But Jesus says, live by your heart, not your mind. Get up and walk. And that man does. So now here he is with the disciples, stuck in the boat, thinking all we need is calm. We just need the winds to die down, the waves to stop, and we'll be good. And logic says that's what we need, calm waters and our boat moving forward. But Jesus says, take heart, live by your heart. And what is living by your heart? But that's the act of stepping out of the boat, saying, I want more than just the mundane. I want more than just moving forward. I want more than this life and all of its logic can offer. Jesus says, take heart. Live by your heart. Our mind says logic, this, this, and this. But our heart is guided by love. Our heart is guided by compassion. Our heart is guided by faith. And those have the ability to overcome logic. And when that heart and those elements are what guides us, it can open us up to adventures and miracles that only God can do with us. And so I challenge you to consider where you are in that boat, and if you have the faith to step out of it and experience the adventure of walking on water with Christ, our Savior. Amen.